You're listening to All to Play For, brought to you by Joe and Coral.
Hello, Happy New Year, and welcome back to another episode of All to Play For, brought to you by Joe and Coral, with me, Steve Sidwell, and of course, Joe Cole. Joining us today is a man who made 438 club appearances in a long and distinguished career. He played a crucial part in getting West Ham back into the Premier League, and was also part of one of the most memorable FA Cup finals in the last 20 years. It is my pleasure to introduce Anton Ferdinand.
How are you doing, mum?
Yes, geez.
Happening, all right?
How are you, mate? All right, good?
Good, thank you. What's happening, City?
Good Christmas and New Year?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Really good. Family guy now, aren't I? Peter Griffin. You know? Just enjoying time with the family.
Our boys play against each other. Over in Essex.
Really?
Yeah. He's got this. There could be another Ferdinand coming. There's about 100 of them in the leagues.
Is there a little bit of needle in it already?
No, there's no needle. There's no needle.
Oh, right,
no,
okay.
His boy's got he's got a bit of pace, nice bit of techers. Yeah, I can see another Ferdinand Grayson.
Sounds like you want to sign him up already, mate.
Listen, all the agents there. He's already got the, he's got the contract ready.
Well, look, you mentioned the family. What is it with the Ferdinand family? Because they produce some players.
Well, they produce two, and one's done all right. The other one's done all right. People would say, but no, seriously. Don't know. Obviously, with Les and Rio, there weren't much comparison.
So Les Ferdinand, he's a cousin.
Yeah, he's my second cousin.
Right.
Didn't know the family's that big. We didn't know,
and it was like
until Rio signed for QPR, and then there was a Ferdinand at QPR, and the first time we actually met was in the toilets at the training ground. Like walked into the toilet, and man was there. Like, oh, it's Les.
Yeah.
Sir Les.
Yeah, and it was like. Family, isn't it? We're family.
Yeah.
And it really progressed from there. And then Rio had his own career, done his own thing. And then I came after that. But in terms of why the Ferdinands, honestly couldn't tell you. My dad's into martial art, was into martial art. He went into football. He's got two left feet when it comes to football.
I've seen him dancing at Rio, show me some footage of him dancing at his wedding, mate. The shapes.
Yeah,
he's got still move. He can still
really,
move.
Yeah?
He's shirt got off on the dance floor.
Wow. Yeah,
and he's in shape as well.
Yeah, mate.
He's having himself, mate. He loves it.
So, obviously, generations to come as well. So, hopefully, the next conveyor belt. Obviously, you know, Rio's kids are in football as well. Yours are. So,
it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for them. I'd say I'm probably more protective than Rio. Rio never lived in anyone's shadow, so he don't understand what it feels. He knows it, but he don't understand what it feels like, whereas I do. So I think I'm a bit more protective over my son.
Yeah.
From the age of four, my son's eight now, from the age of three, four, when we go out to places, say, for instance, I'll give you an example, go and get a Turkish takeaway, and I walk into the shop, and the first thing that one of the waiters says to my boy, who's 4 years old, you're going to be better than your dad and your uncle.
Yeah.
He's 4 years old, you know what I mean? So I understand, I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
You know, whereas Rio don't know, Rio's more relaxed about it because he don't actually understand the feeling of being in someone's shadow.
What was that like when you come through West Ham with Rio coming through the academy before you? Did it help, or did it, as you say there, you kind of said there you was in the shadow, but did it hinder your sort of, not your progress, because obviously you went on to have a distinguished career, but what was it like going through after Rio?
There was part elements that helped me. Like, I didn't think I was going to get a YTS because I was going through a growth spurt in that two-year period of schoolboy forms from 14 to 16. I was going through a growth spurt, and like, I was like Bambi on ice. You know, when your mind's telling you to do something, but your legs can't do it.
Yeah.
Even pinging a ball and clipping one down the line or go to do a skill and I'll fall over.
Yeah.
You know? So I didn't think I was going to get it. But having Rio as my brother helped me because Tony Carr, Peter Braybrook...
Mm.
I'd watched Rio go through this and they allowed him to come out the other side. So they was like, okay, would rather, it was between me and another boy.
Mm.
And they took me instead of the other boy because they're like, okay, we've seen Rio do it. Let's see if what Anton's like when he comes out of the other side.
Yeah.
But then when I got involved and I started, when I signed the my YTS, and I think it was only 4 months into my first year, I started training with you guys, with the first team. And you was a massive help. I said this to you before, but you was a massive help for me. And I think it's just the way that West Ham bring up young players to help the players that are coming through underneath them. When you hear Declan speak about Nobes,
yeah,
that was like you to me. When I come into training, and you've got to remember, Rio, you, all you guys in that first team at that time, Paolo,
yeah,
Freddie, you'd all played with Rio.
Yeah.
Trevor,
yeah,
Sinclair, yeah, you'd all, yeah, played with Rio. So when at my first session, I'm like, they're expecting Rio.
How old was you?
17.
So you were 17 when you went over?
17. And I was like, they're expecting Rio here.
Yeah.
And wow. Rio's up here.
Expectations, yeah.
And they, like, obviously, they trained with him every day. They played with him and knew what he was about and knew how good he was. And, like, I remember going to that session going, I can't fuck up, man. And you know what it was? Because Rio was someone who was calm, loved the skill, come out, yeah, with the ball and stuff like that. In my head, I was thinking, I have to do something like that. I have, yeah, to. For Joe, for Cody, for Paolo Di Canio, for Trevor Sinclair, mm, to respect me, I'm going to have to do something that, yeah, likens me to Rio. Otherwise, they're going to be like, no, he's got to go back. Because I always felt, being in Rio's shadow, if I didn't do something that likened me to him, people thought I was rubbish.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. But you was a great help to me. Like, I remember we done boxes and you was like, instead of going with the senior players, you come in with us.
Yeah.
And you was popping. Like, I remember like looking at you and all, you was popping and I was looking at you
and all.
Changes
like, then.
Like, it was mad. Like, and then I had been in a few times. I was nervous and I was in a few times. And I just remember us walking from the boxes into a keep ball. So I was walking from, remember, over the back, yeah, where the grids were,
yeah,
into,
yeah,
where the seven-a-side pitch was, where we,
yeah,
had, yeah, behind the little car park,
yeah,
where we used to do the seven-a-sides. I remember walking from there to there, and the whole way over, you was going, I didn't go in, bruv. I didn't go in. Like, and then the gaffer, Glenn Roder, come walking between me and you, and I just remember you going, Gaff, I was on fire. I didn't go in. But you know, what I took from that was your pride.
Yeah.
The pride that you took of not going in.
Yeah.
The middle. And I was like, wow, like, this is what it is. And to be fair, you always spoke to me. You always, yeah, like, whenever, if I was training, you always give me encouragement.
Yeah.
You would tell me, like, you can do that better or whatever, yeah, you know. And obviously, Glenn Road was a massive help for me. Like, it helped me that he loved me as a footballer. I was his type of defender.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I knew I was going to get a chance. I just knew I had to be ready.
Yeah, I remember you coming through. And obviously, because I knew you as Rio's younger brother, so we had that relationship anyway. But I would always help the younger generation. Because I remember, we talked about it before, I remember the senior players who really helped me.
Yeah.
You know, so you try and do that. But Anton, it's interesting you think that, like, because I don't think the senior players, we always looked at you like you're your own guy. No one would have gone, oh, you needed to be like, you're 17, you needed to be like Rio, who was like probably one, still at 12. How old is he? How many more years older than you is he?
He's 7 years older.
So at that time, he's probably one of the best defenders in the world. So the lads wouldn't have been thinking that, but it's interesting that that was your mindset going in there.
Yeah.
And now with your kids, you don't want them to have that thing where they've got that. That is interesting. But I always remember him being a talented player. And Glenn Rhodes really loved you.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, obviously being a centre-half, mm-hmm, he was a fantastic coach. You was a bit of his project, I thought.
Yeah.
He was going to try and mould you.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. I remember it. And every time you trained, you've done great. Like, there was never any couple of lads. You've seen young lads.
Yeah.
Don't quite got it. But Anton, you knew he was going to be all right because whenever he trained, he was always capable and he was getting better and better as the weeks and months got by.
Well, look, you went on to make 163 appearances for West Ham, and just hearing you speak there, it sounds like you hold them closest to your heart. I mean, you went on to play for seven other clubs, but it sounds like your time at West Ham was obviously your starting block, but the one that you hold most dearly.
Yeah, definitely. It's the team that I support.
I think it's with Millwall.
No, swearing at me, you are swearing at me.
I heard Benty say the other day on the radio.
But I travelled up and down the country watching Rio, Joe, Lamps, Michael Carrick. I travelled up and down the country watching. So I went from the stand to the pitch, and you know what it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
it's hard to explain that feeling of going from being a supporter to then going and playing on the pitch and understanding when you put that shirt on, you know firsthand what it means, what people that are watching you expect from you because you hear it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you hear it closely.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, they are the club that I hold the highest in regard in terms of every club that I play for, solely because I support them and I went from the stands to the pitch.
Brilliant. Yeah. So you reached the playoffs in 2005. That season, I remember because I was in the Championship at Reading, you finished sixth, we finished seventh, and we just outside the playoffs. Did you think that you was going to get promoted that season, even though you finished sixth and you had probably had the strongest squad as well? You just obviously missed out in automatic. You finished sixth, you're thinking, is this going to be our year?
Yeah, I did, but our egos got in the way of it. And partly to play was, remember turning up to the playoff final in suits and stuff. Like
we so all, that was against Preston, suits. Wasn't it?
No, that one before. You're talking about the one before?
Was that 2005, the Preston one, no?
No, that was Palace the year before.
Oh,
I didn't play that game. I played left. Sorry, I'm going. The year before, we played Palace and got beat by Palace. Yeah.
Mm.
And I'd played, that was my first year playing in the first team, and I played the last five games at left back. That got us into the playoffs. We weren't in the playoffs. Right. We got into the playoffs on the last day.
It was a late run, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I scored my first goal was against Watford the last day of the season to get us in. By the way, left foot volley, bottom bins. It was decent.
YouTube it.
Yeah. The celebration was even better. I ran the whole length of the pitch. To celebrate with the fans. But yeah, we got into the playoffs and I played left back the last five games. And then when we got into the playoffs, Pars just binned me, like put me on the bench. And I was like, what's going on that? And then we got to the final, I didn't even make the bench.
Really?
The final, and
Did he explain it to you?
No.
No?
Nah, didn't explain nothing to me. And then the following year, obviously, everything I'd learned on that day, I took into the game, into the playoff final the following year.
Right, gotcha.
And, you know, because, you know, it's like as footballers, when you're not when you've been playing and you're not playing and then you get into the final of something and you lose it and you know, you feel you should have been playing or at least been on the bench.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hold that thing of like, resentment. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, for being, it's because I weren't on the bench, because I didn't play. But I didn't have that. Because I was a West Ham fan, I didn't have that. I was hurting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was actually hurting.
Yeah.
Which was ended up being a blessing for me, because the next year, I took that pain.
Yeah, and that experience.
An experience of how we went about things. Like the year after we went in tracksuits, I was like, to the gaffer, no chance of we wearing a suit. We're going it's a normal game.
Yeah,
love that.
Like, we're not, why are we going in making it bigger than what it is?
Yeah.
It's big enough as it is already. It's
the biggest game in financially in world football, ain't
it? So why are we making it bigger? We're going in tracksuits.
Yeah.
And let's go and do the job. Yeah.
Did you feel at that time, how old would you have been? You felt like a senior player.
Yeah, I was,
like
I was 19.
Yeah.
I was outspoken. I was.
Yeah, but you've also been brought up in football, Anton. So like a 19-year-old, it's not a normal 19-year-old. You, like you said, you've seen it through your brother's eyes. So at 19, you was probably a leader.
Yeah.
That's amazing that, 19 years old. I mean, look, we're all similar ages. We all come through. But to say you was...
I'm the youngest, by the way.
To say you was one of the leaders at 19, it just goes to show the wisdom that you had beyond your years.
Yeah, definitely. I was confident in my ability. I was very confident in my ability. I weren't rude.
Yeah.
I wasn't rude. I had manners. But if I believed in something, I would say it, and I was always like that. Especially with football, I was always like that. And I remember even having Teddy Sheringham was in the squad, and it's Teddy. And I mean, there's a picture of me, I've got it on my Instagram, there's a picture of me at like 12 when I went to, for a group of us from Peckham got taken to Tottenham training ground, there's a picture of me and Teddy.
Yeah.
And my mates, and we're like 12, 13, and then...
Yeah.
Years later, I'm playing the first team with him, and he's a ledge. But I would challenge him, not in a rude way.
Yeah.
If there was something that he was saying I didn't agree with, I said I don't agree with that, Teddy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I would just like that.
Yeah.
Well, one game that you had to wear suits to was the FA Cup final, which you got to in the same year against Liverpool, which is, again, one of the most memorable cup finals we've had in history. You said there about responsibility. Did you feel like, obviously, that game went to penalties and you missed one. Did you feel like you had to take the responsibility to take one, or was you?
No one wanted the fifth one, and I went.
So did you put your hand up, or was you down to take one?
No, I put my hand up.
Really?
So Pars was going through the thingy. People had said, okay, I want one. And I was just chilling, like, thinking I'd rather, like, the other players take one. But no one wanted, like, when the fifth one come, no one was, like, putting themselves forward. So I just went, okay, I'll take it.
Brilliant.
You know, and, like...
That's a brave call. I mean, we've all been in penalty shootouts, but it's horrendous, isn't it, to experience that. I mean, you're either hand up straight away, I'm confident, or you're like, you're one of them. If no one wants it, then I'll go.
And I'll take it. I was confident going up to... I was confident, you know, and say, like... I was talking about this yesterday, actually, in the office, talking about it, and, you know, it's like you play in front of 85,000-90,000 people for 120 minutes, you're used to, the noise is constant.
The
singing's constant.
Yeah.
Especially West Ham, Liverpool.
Both
sets of fans are unbelievable.
And
I stepped up for the penalty, put the ball down, and it was complete silence. And it was like, and it just done me. That was like, wow. Like, and
so you'd rather all the...
I would have rather the noise, because I was used to, you're in it. You know? And I think I would have been better if we was shooting down the away end.
Because there
would have been noise.
We
were shooting where the West Ham fans were, so they were silent. You know? And I put the ball down, and it was just complete and utter silence. And all I could hear was coming out of the stand was, and this is how silent it was. Remember the Nokia? The kick ringtone. That's what I could hear.
And
I was
like, you heard a ringtone?
I swear that. And I was like, that's how quiet it was. And I was like,
wow.
Huh? Like, rah. Where am I going again? Like, it was crazy.
No way.
It was crazy. That's how silent it was. How silent it was when I went to take my penalty, and it just threw me, you know, and I'll wake up through the night now and I'm like, oh, flipping, why did I miss it, man?
Yeah.
You know, but I get hammered more from players for, obviously, the shootout, there's no rebound, but the ball come back out and I flipping went to hit it and it went rose in. I missed it twice. Like,
all players, like, there's always things in your career where you know what I mean? I had a chance in the Champions League final.
I was going to say that. So 2008, Moscow.
I had a chance. And I'm like, you get little shivers every now and then. Like, oh, fuck's sake, why did I miss that? But I come off for Anelka in the... You might have been there, but I come off for Anelka. And that was the...
I was in the suit, soaking wet.
And he was, you know, he was a penalty taker. We had loads of penalty takers. Like, it wasn't probably like West Ham, that group of players probably wasn't... There wasn't that many leaders we had.
No.
Lampard. Balak.
Ashley Cole.
Essien, like all captains of their country.
Of course.
So I was way down the list when it comes to... I would have took one. I would have taken an Anelka.
If you'd have come over and Jose would have gone, right, who wants one? Obviously, a lot of hands would have gone up. Would yours have gone up?
How can you not, Sid? Like, you can't let... an attacking player, you couldn't let a centre-half step up and take a pen ahead of you. You can't put your hand up like that. It always does me that. I wasn't a penalty taker in my career because I played in teams where I never took them, but like in a shootout you've always got to put your hand up.
But
that just shows you, like, the fact that as a young man, hands going up, like the young lads in the summer, like Saka and that, do you know what I mean? That takes some balls, because I've seen a lot of senior players
crumble.
not put their hands up.
So you get promoted, first season in the Premier League, there's rumours of Barcelona.
They had inquired, apparently. It was on Spanish football. I remember seeing the segment on Spanish football.
That was the struck
I want to go back to this. That West Ham dressing room that day, and there would have been Teddy, Bobby Zamora, Kant, Rio Kamal on. That was a good dressing room.
You're right.
When that come out, what was the strut like from you going back in the dressing room? And what was the banter like from then coming back at you?
It was, I don't think, it wasn't highlighted massively publicly for people to go, right, there's interest. You know, it was just a segment on Spanish football. What's his name?
Guillaume Balaguer.
He done a segment saying that Rijkaard at the time, was interested in signing me, and then inquired West Ham with West Ham.
There must have been a shout that they got the wrong Ferdinand. Like, it was like,
yeah, that was coming out. Yeah, by the way, it's not you. It's obviously Rio. Come on, 100%. Bobby Zamora, 100% was on me.
I'd have walked straight in and like, I'd have been like, okay. See? Someone say anything? Would you have calamaris, please? Have the calamaris. Yeah. I'd have been giving it all to them.
It was surreal to see that on TV, to see that on a segment. Right, what? Yeah. Me? Like, it was surreal, but it also gave me a realisation of what I was actually doing at that time in the Premier League. Yeah. It weren't until after that season I became Anton Rio's brother.
Yeah.
That season I was still Rio's brother.
The first season
in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I was still Rio's brother. I wasn't Anton by then. I was just, oh, that's Rio's brother. That's Rio's brother.
Mm.
So when I saw that, Rijkaard, the manager, Ronaldinho's in the team, Poyle, I was like, I must be doing something right.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm slowly becoming my own person because people like Barcelona are interested in me, you know, and it was just surreal. Yeah, I had a strut. The confidence levels went through the roof. That day in training, there was studs on the ball. It weren't side foot no more. It weren't controlled the side foot. It was studs on. You know what I mean? It was one of those. All of a sudden, I wanted to be cultured.
Yeah.
You know? No, but it was surreal. And say a lot of people don't know about that. But to be linked with not just a team, but a manager of that calibre.
Yeah.
And a team of that caliber. That's the greatest team
I've ever seen.
That's the greatest team.
Do you think you'd have gone in there and made a difference in that box?
Geez, come on.
No,
man.
That team was ridiculous.
You would have been all right.
I think I would have been. It would have suited me. The way that I played, it would have suited me.
That's why the inquiry was there.
You know, you look at PK.
Yeah.
Struggled in the Premier League, went there, and he's gone to be one of the best.
Yeah.
I think.
That's mad.
If I'm being honest, and I feel like now I'm retired, I can say it, I think like I could have been that person if given the opportunity.
Yeah.
I never played with people. I never played with players that were better than me, like as centre back partners.
Yeah.
I never played with players that were like that. I thought I've got to prove I'm better than them.
Yeah.
I knew I was already better than them.
Yeah.
And I think that was the biggest difference with me and Rio. I'm not saying I would have gone on to achieve what Rio's achieved, but I think that was the biggest difference with me and Rio was Rio played with Slaven when he first come in.
Yeah.
He played with Alvin, Martin, Dixie. He was learning.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like, I think that's, if I would have went somewhere like that, I would have thrived.
I would have thrived. Well, you've already shown the capability. You said you took from the first playoff final to the second playoff final. So you obviously was a quick learner. Yeah, you're right. Everyone's journey is different and we can never go back and start it again. But, you know, if you'd have asked, if Rio could have had a better person to teach him than Alvin Martin and Slaven, but they're like top centre-half. He took something from them, He'd gone to Leeds, Lucas Radebe was there, took something from him.
Then his first year at United, Laurent Blanc.
It's like you couldn't have picked a better schooling for a young centre-half. And centre-halves don't mature until you get to 25.
Mm.
So there's all that learning, isn't there? Yeah.
Well, down the line, you eventually moved to Sunderland and you play under Roy Keane. Look, what was he like? What was he like to work under?
I loved him. I honestly loved him.
Good relationship.
Him. Yeah. Like, you know what I liked about him? He didn't mince his words. Like, I grew up in Peckham where you got told right from wrong.
Mm.
Yeah. There was no, like,
it's black
in between.
And white,
it's black and white. Listen, this is what it is. You was rubbish.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's what you was. You was rubbish today. And he was like that.
Yeah.
And I, no matter what, you know, through your careers, you get bought by certain managers and they half protect you.
Yeah.
Because they bought you. Mm. So they don't want to hammer you in front of the players. He was like, he was the complete opposite. And I like that about him.
Yeah.
Like, my first game at home against, my first home game was against, who was it? Northampton in the Cup. And we were getting beat at half-time 1-0.
Oh, no.
Oh, mate. Like, how much did I pay for you?
Really?
Is that what you said at half-time?
Yeah, like, you look a bag of nerves.
Really?
Like, hammered me in front of the boys. Like, you look a bag of nerves. Look, what is up with you? Like, it was mental, but I didn't mind it.
That's what I'm saying. So your character, you took that...
Yeah. Like, I was... Joe, I'm not someone who... See, if a manager hammers me in his domain, in his office, in his dressing room, I wouldn't say a word.
Mm.
Don't, like, it's not, respect levels are there, I wouldn't say a word. But don't embarrass me outside of your domain. Don't chat to me like I'm a little kid outside of your office or your dressing room. Talk to me like a human being. Yeah. You know, and managers that I had differences with didn't understand that about me. Yeah. They only looked at me as the player, not they didn't want to get to know me as the person.
Yeah. Who would that have been?
Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
Me and Steve Bruce had murders at times.
Really?
Man. Yeah. Like I can't sit here and say he weren't a good manager. He's a good manager.
Yeah.
Terms of like tactically, like I'm not saying he was the best tactically, but there was no grey areas when you went on the pitch.
Yeah.
This is what you're doing. This is what you've been told to do. And there's no black. It's not. It's black and white.
Yeah.
Like an example, when you're playing fullback, and your winger's in front of you, the winger stays with the fullback, and the fullback stays with the winger. There's no interchange. When you're playing a big team, there's no interchange.
Yeah, so you know.
Yeah. So you know that's what you do.
Yeah.
If you interchange and the goal comes from that, then you're in for it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like there was like I don't want that.
Yeah.
So he was very good. Like that in terms of setting his teams up.
Mm.
For me, if he didn't buy her,
really,
or he just had something that he didn't like, it was a problem, you know. And that's what it was like with me and him.
Yeah,
you know, he didn't buy me, and it just became a massive, massive problem where he'd play me. I don't think I played 5 or 6 games on the bounce for him.
Yeah,
he'd play me, and then I'd get taken out.
Yeah.
Or there'll be a goal and my involvement was at the halfway line.
Yeah.
So you know there's like 5-10 seconds before the ball's gone in the box and in football, it's a long time.
Yeah.
A lot happens in that time.
Yeah.
But it'd be my fault.
Yeah.
No one else's.
I just want to go back to Roy and you know, you as a player that could take it on the chin and accept the criticism. Did you see anyone go under? Was there a few that went underneath him in terms of couldn't hack it, or did he cross the line at all? Was any half-time team talks or after a game where you thought, oof?
There was a team talk away at Blackburn where he took Jibril Cisse to the cleaners, man.
Really?
Oh, my. Oh, my gosh.
So is this half-time?
Jibril weren't playing well. We'd gone in 1-0 down, but we were playing well, like.
Yeah.
We were playing well. It was a case of like Kenwyn Jones got beat in the air for the goal by Samba. Right. And Kenwyn Jones had the maddest leap.
Yeah.
So he was fuming with it. You're meant to have the biggest leap in the club, in the Premier League, and you're getting beat. It's a disgrace. And then he moved on to Jibril, hammered him.
Really?
Hammered him. Like mental. I can have your arrogance if you're playing well, but you're not. You're not. I'll take your arrogance when you're playing well. I'll take it, but you're not. So I don't want to see arrogance from you.
And
what was that, what was it like? Sorry, what was it like after that? What was he say like?
Jibril just took it.
So was their relationship fine after?
They were fine. Oh, right. So then afterwards, Jibril, it's actually on Premier League years, that game, Jibril scores just after half time.
Right, okay.
And Jibril goes up to him and goes, "Is that right for you, Gaff?" And he starts laughing.
Yeah, as a
giggle.
Yeah.
But he hammered me as well because I was like, I said like, he said, "Oh, we're playing rubbish." Da, 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 da. And I didn't agree with him. Right. And I was like, "I don't agree, boss. I think we've been all right."
Yeah.
Just when 1-0 down. You know, I knew he was going to say something.
Yeah.
like, I knew he was going to say something. And then all of a sudden, he was like, "Who's going to grab this game by the scruff of the neck? Who's got the bollocks to do this and do that?" And he looked at me and went, "We all know you ain't Anton because you ain't got any bollocks, have you?" Like straight-faced.
Really?
Straight-faced, looked at me like that. And I was like, what?
Sounds like it's a lot of mind games.
Yeah, so yeah. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I was fuming inside.
Yeah.
We went into the tunnel, and I turned to the boys, and I was like, let's fucking prove him wrong, man.
Yeah.
Like, let's have him. Let's have it. Yeah. Let's make sure we win this game so we can go back in there and give him some.
Yeah.
Went out on the pitch. Jibril scored just after half-time. Then we won. Someone else scored. I think Kenwyn scored, and we won the game 2-1. I think I blocked one off the line like the last 5 minutes of the game, and we won the game. And I was like steaming in to go. What? I ain't got nothing on it. Like steaming into the thing. He was at the door waiting for me.
Really?
Waiting at the door, and he with his hand out. I come in. He put his hand up, and he brought me in. He went. I knew he was going to fucking win anyway.
Yeah.
And then that was it, and the giggle. That for me is top management.
Yeah, mind game. Yeah, mind game. It'd be interesting now. I wonder if they've the managers now, because that's I've seen managers use that type of psychology on me and other players around me. I just wonder now whether manager would be brave enough.
HR's getting called nowadays.
Yeah, is that even a tool that they can use? It's not even something they can use. Like, I don't know.
Nah.
You've got to be a certain character. Like, he's obviously done that to you because he knows you can take it and go out there and produce the goods.
But do you know what? I took that on.
Yeah.
Like, I took that bit of management to, like, when I went down to Leeds, when I went and played for Phil Brown at Southend, I say to Phil, hammer me in front of the lads. Like, half time, if something's going wrong, take it out on me.
Yeah.
And he's like, but you're not doing anything wrong. And I say, yeah, but the lads are going to look at it and go, right, if he's hammering Anton, I better sort myself out.
Yeah.
But I won't come back at you. I might say something, but hammer, like, let's have it in there.
Yeah.
So lads understand you're not taking, you won't take anything other than a top level performance.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to say to him, like, use me to do that. And that was based off the fact of what Roy done to me that day.
I
took it on with me.
We did the same. When I was at Tampa, I finished off at Tampa, and my pal Neil Collins was the manager. He'd done exactly the same thing. And anyone who knows Neil, love him, but he's the angriest man in the world, right? He's a Scottish fella. And when he goes, right? So I can come for me, like, in front of the lads, right? He's come for me. I'm melted. I pulled him afterwards. I went, geez, that was a bit strong. you told me to come for you. It's in my face. I'm like, so you're right. But I don't necessarily, I think that side of the game probably gone out of it.
Just drifting away.
You know what, though? I think our youth team days were different to what they are now.
Yeah, the game's
evolved. You know, like Tony Carr, Peter Braybrook.
Yeah.
A lot of it was mental.
Yeah.
Mental. A lot of what they done to us, it was a mental test.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Peter Braybrook used to do it all the time. I love talking about Pete, man.
I love it.
But, like, he would say, like, we'd had sports science had just come in when I was in the youth team.
Yeah.
And they would map out the run.
Mm.
Yeah. And we'd do the first run. And he'd look around, and you know, the first run, not everyone's, like, really blowing. No one's feels like their legs are gone. So people be looking around, this ain't far enough. So he'd walk, go and get the pole and move it himself and make it longer. And we're looking at it going, what's he doing? I feel comfortable at the moment. Don't do that. Like, I don't want to be sick in the second or the third run. But he would always push the boundaries. Mm. Then we'd do the run again.
Yeah.
And if we were still, and I would say to the lads, listen, everyone come in blowing, because that's why he's moving it. That's why he's moving it. You know, and he was like, but a lot of it was, so we'll do that in the morning. It'd push us to our limit in the morning. Then in the afternoon, we'd do one-on-ones.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And it'll be one-on-ones until you can't move.
Yeah, I know.
But it was like, it was basically, they were looking at us going, who's going to fold first?
Yeah. Mm. These kids don't know what a pre-season's like, do they?
Exactly. Hainault Forest. Oh, my God.
I remember going off with Frank's dad. He was an unbelievable runner. Like, he's a run through this. And Harry used to go there and just say, like, follow Frank. And, mate, he used to just go off for about an hour in the forest. It's like up and down and just, like...
Touch the thing at the pub.
Yeah, touched.
Touch the sign at the pub.
And if you got lost... Yeah. Like, there was a few stragglers. Yeah. Like, we lost a couple.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've come out Hainault Forest. And then Anton's running. And the next, none of that, like, we're going to have a recovery session. Mm. It was the next, it was one-on-ones. And it was literally just to see.
Just to see who folded first. Yeah. That's what it was. Who's got the mental strength to keep going?
Mm.
You know, okay, you're tired. The ball's out now. You should be buzzing.
Yeah.
And we're not running you. You should be buzzing. Mm. I want to see excitement. I want to see enthusiasm. But... Mm. My legs can't move.
It's like kicking a medicine ball, wasn't it?
It was mental.
Well, look, the youngsters in the Premier League, they're doing well now. Look, let's talk Premier League.
Yeah.
Man City, do you think they've tied this up already? 10 points clear. Chelsea in second. Is it? Have they won it?
I thought Chelsea were going to win it, if I'm honest. I thought Chelsea, looking at the squad, looking at, like, especially when they bought Lukaku, the first few games, different dimension that he gave them, you know, along with the players that they've got. I thought Chelsea were going to win it, but that man Pep, man.
It's a big gap now, isn't it? 10 points.
It's hard to... You can't see them losing enough games to concede that.
it's huge, Sids. It's 10 points at this stage of the year is still huge. I don't, even more so in this era, like maybe 15, 20 years ago, teams could have more of a wobble. I think these teams, the three great teams, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, I think three genuine, if any of them were champions, they wouldn't be undeserving of it. They're great. Mm-hmm. I think Chelsea have to win this weekend. They have to win.
I was going to say, so Chelsea week. Play Man City in the early kickoff at the Etihad. Do you see Chelsea getting a result?
I think it's going to be interesting to see what what type of team he picks. I think he may go, you know, that one where he'll play Lukaku and someone next to him is like a two and then three and try and pack the midfield, because when Man City are in this kind of form, that rhythm, it's hard to stop. Like the Barcelona team we were talking about earlier, like where the patterns out the back, and when they're all on, you can't get near them. It's like,
I see an image the other day where they just suffocate you. Everyone's in the other in the attacking half, and they just suffocate. There's no way out.
Yeah, I remember playing against Pep's Barcelona team, and genuinely, at one point, I was counting. I swear there's 12 of them. I thought there was 12 of them. I was counting. At the Nou Camp, was going, how many of them is there? And that's what Man City do to you. Yeah. Like, there's overloads everywhere.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
It's going to be intriguing.
Bottom
end of the table. What are we thinking there? Is there a few doomed? We've got Norwich, Newcastle, Burnley down there.
I don't think anyone's doomed. I think, there's been a lot of talk about Chris Wood going to Newcastle and then people laughing, saying they're going to get Mbappe. They was never going to get Mbappe. That's for 2-3 years down the line, them type of players. Yeah. Chris, that's what a signing that is.
Do you think that's what they need?
What a signing! Like,
good signing.
He, and not only that, you're taking him off of Burnley, who, by the way, they're amongst it.
Yeah, you know what it is? I think I've been in a few relegation battles, never been relegated, always managed to get out of it, always. And when you're in that type of fight, you need to be looking to your left and your right and in front of you and knowing there's people that are going to go into the trenches with you. You know, and Newcastle don't have that.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at defensively, they don't have that where, like, they're quite soft through the middle.
Would Chris Wood bring that to Newcastle?
He's horrible to play against.
I
played against him when he was at Leeds and I was at Reading.
Yeah.
He don't give you time on the ball.
Yeah, he's a handful.
You know, he's a handful. He's like a poor man's Kevin Davis.
Type
player.
Yeah.
We were probably a bit more techers. You know, and quicker.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'd put him to.
They need a centre-half though, Anton.
They 100% need a centre-half.
At least one.
But everyone's talking about the boy from Lille in France. Yeah. And you need players who know the league.
I think
if you're going to stay in this league, you need players who know the league. You know, but who do you go and get?
Well, they've got a huge game on Saturday. So Newcastle, they're in a dismal run of form. 5 straight defeats, as are Watford. 5 straight defeats. That's a huge game down there. Where do you see that one swinging?
Where is that Newcastle?
Watford.
I think it's a good one for the punters. That one. I think you've got to look at. I think before you make a bet on that game, you've got to look at the starting lineups, because I think there's a few players on both teams that might be still away. Our African Nations Cup or just got back or whatever, so I fancy Newcastle. I do. I just got a thing for Newcastle. I think they're gonna do it. And I think that Eddie Howe.
It is Newcastle at home.
Yeah, Newcastle at home. So I think they'll do it
as well.
I think they'll do it.
Okay.
I think at home they'll do it. I watched Watford the other day in their FA Cup game with Leicester, and they were shambles. Yeah.
Ranieri at Watford. This just not seem to have got going, is it? And we know what Watford are like, hiring, firing. Do you reckon he could possibly... they could possibly part company if...
Potentially, but I'm not a fan of this hire and fire. It's
But that's Watford's policy, isn't it?
Of course, but is that the reason why they've been a yo-yo club?
Yeah.
Because they're doing that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's up and down out of the Premier League, back in the Premier League. You know, is that the reason why? Yeah. You know, and I think... You've got a manager who's won the league with a team that shouldn't have won the league.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then also, I'm not on the inside of that. Like, is he a person? I don't know him. Is he a person who he's achieved that with a team that shouldn't have won it? And he's like, I've done what I'm about to do.
Yeah. I mean, he signed me at Chelsea. So I know him, and he's like he's gone on since that. Then he's and I what I don't get with Watford is the short termism, like you know, like just and it, the club stinks of that, because when you go to Vicarage Road and watch it, it looks like you're stepping back to the '80s for a team that's been in the Premier League and had Premier League money for as long as they have. There doesn't seem to be any much going on around it, which is like infrastructure, like we're going to be here to stay. It's like just fire, and it's worked for them to a certain degree. They've stayed in, but I think this is the year when I think it won't. And I think Claudio's the right man, because I know he's an organiser, he's a good man manager. If anyone could do it and keep him up, it would be him. But I just think I think the players are not. They haven't got a group of players to do it
Okay. Sunday sees the North London derby. Conte, is he the right man to for the job at Spurs to get him going?
We've talked about this, haven't we? Great manager. When I talk about Spurs, it's the Levy factor I think of. Like, and I think to myself, we're 8, 9, 10 days into the transfer window opening. Nothing too many noises coming out of there. And I'm like, well, Conte knows that his group of players...
He's made some noise, though, hasn't he? He's come out and said...
He's been honest. He's been honest with the Spurs fans. If you think we're going to sign 5, 6, 7 players and we're going to finish in the top four, whoever's told you that's lying. It's not going to happen. We have to understand... what he says is something, I don't quote him, but something along the lines of, at the moment, we're a mid-table team. That thing is what he's alluding to. But I can't see him, the manager that he is, going in at Tottenham without it being written down that he's going to get money to spend. I can't see it. That's the reason. That was apparently the reason why he didn't sign in the summer.
You're right, Anton. He's gonna and obviously you get it written down, wouldn't you? Because you know Harry Kane didn't get it written down. It was a gentleman's agreement, and that was quickly put to the side. So
what's your thoughts on what's going on with him, like
Harry?
It's a tough one
because he's not playing to his level, is he? There's enough that we've had a change. He's had a change of manager. He's just not at his best. I mean, maybe we're being too harsh because he is a top level striker. You know, he's going to be compared to your Lewandowski's and your Salah's and your Ronaldo's and the top players around the world, and he's just not there anymore. Maybe he's just having a 6 months. You don't know if he's carrying a mark. I don't know.
The way that I look, my opinion on it is his body language says there's a problem. Not like, you know, like you can be off the boil for six months.
Yeah.
But his body language is different to what it has been, which tells me I think he's harbouring some type of feelings of what happened.
Resentment,
because, you know, it's like, it's embarrassing. He's actually said bye.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? He actually clapped the fans. The fans wished him well on his way.
Yeah.
Players have come out on social media and wished him well.
Yeah.
And then now he's still playing.
Yeah.
Your pride as a player, it's going to take some battering, isn't it? Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I think that's what we're seeing. I get it can be off the boil, like, in terms of form and stuff, because everyone goes through that in their career at some point.
Yeah.
But what's alarming is his body language. You don't look like he wants to be there. You know, and it might be his confidence, because he might have a knock, and I'm not saying it's definitely that, but my opinion is the way that his body language is more alarming than the fact that he isn't playing well, because it's hard to come out of that.
Even when
you move,
it's
hard to, you can, when you move, it's a confidence booster. Okay, I'm confident.
Yeah.
Nah, I've got my move, I'm confident, I'm going to be back on it.
Yeah.
Torres at Chelsea, wasn't it? When his last 6 months at Liverpool was my first 6 months there, and he wasn't, he wanted his move, he didn't get it, and it was a similar situation. And when he went to Chelsea, he took that form into Chelsea, and it never really...
But it was a body language thing rather than his actual ability.
And well, when he plays well, Tottenham do well.
Yes.
So, you know, for them to get out of the league, he'll need to start scoring money. Look, let's give you some Coral odds. If you think Chelsea will beat Man City 2-1, Coral will give you odds of 14-1. And if you think Saint-Maximin will score and Newcastle will beat Watford 1-0, it's odds of 25-1. I think that's a great double.
That's a good bet.
Yeah, I like him.
That's very good. Right, moving on. Tottenham v Arsenal is the pick of the Coral Super Series this week. So I'm going to ask you each 4 simple questions about the North London derby. Quick fire answers, okay? Who's going to win the match?
Arsenal.
Tottenham v Arsenal. It's at Spurs.
Arsenal.
Oof, confident.
Can I go draw?
Yeah. The question is who would win the match. But if you want to go draw, go draw. No, if you think a draw, go draw.
I think a draw.
Who will score first?
I think Arsenal will score first, I think.
Which player?
Harry Kane. I'm going to go Harry Kane.
Go on then. Just speaking
I want him to be back for England.
Okay. Who's going to score first?
I'm going to throw Saka out there.
Yeah, love that. Brilliant.
I love Saka.
How many corners in the game?
You ready for it? 11.
That's a banker.
Every week. Have hit it once this
week. We get some stats on there. How many corners, Anton?
Derby, feisty. Ball's not going to be in control all the time. Mm. 13.
Oof, big. Right, Derby. So how many players will get carded? Yellow or red cards? How many cards in the game?
Well, that in Arsenal were the first team to have 100 red cards in Premier League history.
There's
it?
A man with some stats.
Yeah, it's a man. Just a few stats. They say I'm not professional as well. All right, okay. So I'm going to go big. I'm going to go six cards.
Six,
And a red in there as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going four.
Four. Love it. Nothing wrong with that. People at home, remember, you can get involved. Just head over to coral.co.uk. Answer the questions correctly to win cash prizes. But as always, please gamble responsibly. Right, before we wrap this up, if you're looking for something decent to watch on TV, check out Against the Odds. It's a brand new show from ITV and Coral. The latest episode is Leicester's Premier League legend Kasper Schmeichel tells a story. He's an incredible story. So catch it on ITV Hub now. Anton, thank you for coming on. Been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
What's on the script for the next couple of weeks, mate? Are you out and about watching games, or you're still mentoring and doing bits, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to the West Ham game tonight. Look forward to that West Ham Norwich. One of our players at Neuro Globe Sports, Max Ahrens, is playing for Norwich.
I met his dad.
Lovely fella.
I met him in Chelsea. I met his dad in a CAF after the game. On the Fulham Road, and they'd just been beaten 7-0, and he said, "I'm Max Aram's dad," was chatting, and it just took me back. I remember getting beat 7-0 as a young man against Man United, and just being on like as low as a snake's belly.
Yeah.
And then I said to him, "Listen, he actually did all right in the game, believe it or not." I said, "Listen, just tell him to keep going because he's a top player."
By the way, have you seen his stats?
I know he's a player.
You know, he's like out of all the England centre backs, he's the first to 150 appearances.
And that's it, yeah. But that's an unbelievable stat. Mate, his dad was a nice fella and he's a good player.
Well, you're mentoring him, mate, so good luck with that.
Cheers.
Hopefully see you soon on the circuit, BT or something.
Definitely.
Coley, I'll see you on the next one.
Lovely.
Remember to find us on the Joe YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts from. You have been listening to the All To Play For podcast brought to you by Joe and Coral. We'll see you on the next one.
You've been listening to All To Play For, brought to you by Joe and Coral.